The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. If you want to hear more about the Ten Commandments, come out on Wednesday nights for a half an hour for Lenten Vespers. This Wednesday is the fourth commandment, and every Wednesday we hear how the commandments are not only God's demands of human beings, but also his promise to them. It was hard to choose which reading to preach on. But I chose the gospel reading, not surprisingly, perhaps. Some people are uncomfortable in the gospel reading with Jesus' blatant anger. Other people, though, find in it a human Jesus with whom they can relate. Either way, you can't deny that by doing what he did, Jesus shows zeal for his father's house. In short, he's upset that the temple has become a place of falseness. Not simply a marketplace. In all practicality, the thousands of people who made the long trek from their small towns to Jerusalem for Passover needed to purchase doves and rams and sacrifices and have money changed in order to offer the appointed temple sacrifices. So it wasn't really money or cheating or even selling that was the real problem. The problem went deeper than commercialism. There was something about the whole temple system that Jesus saw as false. And this isn't merely a criticism of Judaism. That's wait to hear a little bit more about that. The money changers, though, were the outward sign of the problem. I'll put it another way. When you entered the temple in Jerusalem in Jesus' era, and it's interesting, in the Gospel according to John, which was written about 50 to 60 years after the resurrection, and it was written by an author to a little congregation that wasn't Jewish, and it sounds as though he's talking about the Jews and Jesus. Well, Jesus was Jewish. So it's interesting, you know, that was his context. But in any case, when you entered the temple in Jerusalem, you came into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. It was set apart by a curtain and was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, the most sacred place. And at one time, in the Ark of the Covenant, were the tablets on which the Ten Commandments were originally written. The high priest and the whole structure of priests oversaw the vast temple system of religion. And they're the ones, the chief priests and scribes, whom Jesus criticizes most often, and then the Pharisees as well. And they become so annoyed with Jesus that in the end, the high priest is the one who sends Jesus to the foreign governor to be executed. Money changers, located in the courtyard of the temple, in our lingo, the narthex or the foyer, were the entry point to the whole temple system. See, and the issue, as I said, isn't the system of Judaism, as if something were wrong with that religion in particular. Nope, the issue is all human religions. Humans are temple builders, and we want to be in charge of the temple and saying what's holy and who gets access to it and who doesn't. Take any religion, and we humans will take it and build temples and systems of holiness, including Christianity. Humans are always eager to decide what's holy and who can have access to it, including buildings, particular behaviors, even an object like the Bible. For example, Christians tried to make, over the centuries, always err in trying to make certain behaviors holier than others. For some Christians, it's been leading a godly life in terms of sexuality or self-reliance. God helps those who help themselves, which isn't in the Bible. Even purity and chastity ideals. For other Christians, it's about leading a godly life in terms of advocacy against racism, protectionism, and being inclusive. We even build a temple of the Bible, as if literal printed words are holy, instead of the living word of the living God, which cannot be contained in ink and paper or words. And if you're annoyed right now, it possibly means that Jesus got through in my words, because the words of Jesus in this second chapter of John are fighting words. Not only in his day, you can imagine how mad the priests would have been, not only them, but across the ages. Humans don't like our religious systems to be revealed as false. The questions put to us in this reading is, so what's your temple? What about religion do you trust in more than you trust in the living God? We all have them. And what are we supposed to do when our temples or idols are revealed? Vow to stop it? Vow not to rebuild? And how long will that last? Not very. Strange words in the text offer good news for all of us who build temples to religion or holiness, or other idols in life. Zeal for my Father's house will consume me. It's on the cover of our bulletins. And it did consume Jesus, ate him up on the cross. Zeal for his Father, and his Father was the one, remember, at the beginning of this gospel, who so loved the world. You see, in the end, it was zeal, passion, for humanity that not only got him executed on a cross, but raised him from the dead. That's what Jesus' final zeal is, not anger, but scandalous love, unconditional, unbounded love. Love for those his Father so ardently loved. So the temples, the idols that we brought here this morning, those things that we trust in more than we trust in God, get destroyed over and over again this morning by Jesus' revealing word, and in the end by life circumstances, because they're just false. But there is one temple that has been promised forever, and that's Jesus himself. There's the deep mystery of the Christian faith that somehow in Jesus we come into the Holy of Holies, the presence of the creator of the cosmos. As Christians, we don't trust the institution of church. The ELCA will come and will go in history. We don't need to own a particular building. Both of those things, building and institution, make it safe and possible and orderly to meet and comfortable. But really, all we need is Jesus, who is really, truly present among us as we gather in his name, among whomever gathers in his name. And whenever we gather in his name, he replaces our idols with the living God, with faith. He forgives your sin, my body given for you, my blood shed for you. He gives you abundant life and nourishment so that you can go out into your daily lives and serve God as you do every week in the world, in your daily callings, and then come back once more full of other trusting other temples and other gods to do it all again and be reclaimed by Christ, who is our temple. God, the table-turning prophet and the resurrected truth. Jesus, our temple, as we'll now sing. Amen.